So a little cleanup from yesterday's show. Welcome to the program, by the way. But a little cleanup here off the hop. I got my days mixed up hard yesterday and began thinking yesterday was Thursday. Today is Thursday, April 18th. Thank you so much again for joining us, your host, Tasha Kirko. So the PWHL will return to action tonight, not last night, as I previously said. Sorry about that, everybody. Remember, all the mistakes here are mine and mine alone. No one else I can pin the blame on as much as I would like to. But we are going to get into the hockey. Really emotional night in Arizona yesterday. Really great game between Tampa Bay and Toronto. I know most people won't call it a great game, but we obviously saw Nikita Kucherov get his 100th assist, and Austin Matthews is stuck on 69 goals on the season. He does not get to 70, but still a remarkable season nonetheless. We'll talk about all of that. No guest today. We tried to get on someone who was organizing the big outdoor watch party. We were in talks to try and get him on. It just didn't end up working out. But we had previous guest Trey Matthews in the building yesterday for Arizona. So we will try and bring him on either probably in the early goings of next week, just so we can get what the atmosphere was like in Arizona, because it was a very emotional night there. Like I said, Coyotes bookend their chapter in Arizona. And that is, you could tell there was a lot of, keep saying the word emotion, but there was a lot of sadness. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of frustration. There were a lot of tears, as that team looks to move to Salt Lake City this offseason. Jeff Carter also retired. He hung him up. It was not really made known pregame. And the giveaway there was the New York Islanders lining up to all shake hands with Jeff Carter after the game. New York beats Pittsburgh 5-4 in the season finale for both of those squads. The Eastern Conference is actually all wrapped up for today. Six games on the go around the NHL tonight, and they are all Western Conference opponents facing off against each other. So that is it for the Eastern Conference as far as the regular season goes. Still two playoff matchups to be determined. They somewhat hinge on the Golden Knights-Ducks matchup tonight and the Kings taking on the Chicago Blackhawks in what is the season finale for everybody, but also your Chicago Blackhawks here. So I wanted to start with, let's start with the Nikita Kucherov and the 100 assists. So Nikita Kucherov, it took us a very long time in 105 NHL seasons. Only three players had ever recorded 100 assists in a campaign. We have talked about this quite a bit with Gretzky and Lemieux and Bobby Orr being the only three. McDavid coming oh so close, and then he did it about 3 days ago. And now we have Nikita Kucherov adding his name to the list on a power play marker by Braden Point. Boy, does that look familiar. This is a recording. Only one of only 10 players since 1933-34 with multiple 40 power play assist seasons, a list led by Wayne Gretzky, who did it seven times. It's remarkable. It is really remarkable the season he's had. There has never been, in my opinion, and someone who has studied the history of the game very, very much, never really been an MVP race and discussion and discourse quite like this year's. There are people for Nikita Kucherov. There are people for Nate McKinnon. People for Sidney Crosby if his Penguins had snuck into the playoffs, and there are people for Austin Matthews as well, and the numbers do a good job of that. I do not have a vote, so I can say whatever I want, frankly. It is going to be very interesting, and obviously you have Connor McDavid, who should always be in the mix considering he is the best player in the world. He should always be in the mix for the Hart Trophy, his league's MVP. But a little bit of a breakdown of Nikita Kucherov's 100 assists on the year. 62 of them were primary, 38 secondary, 40 of those were on the power play. And get this, 33 of those assists were assists on Braden Point goals, which is his highest total with one player. 26 multi-assist games, two on the season, tied with Connor McDavid. For the most by an active player who also did it this year. 14 different goal scorers he assisted on. So really incredible season by him. And you could tell that, one, that meant a lot to the team. Two, they were looking for it. And three, I mean, he is just a very, very special player. The ability to impact the game in such a subtle way, but also do it on a macro level is, I mean, it's unlike very many players in the National Hockey League. You know, we know the thing about Nikita Kucherov. He is your favorite NHL player's favorite NHL player. But even still, I mean, this has been very, very remarkable. And also, seven of Nikita Kucherov's 100 assists this season have come against the Maple Leafs. He also had seven against the Devils, which were the most by him against one opponent. And get this, the most helpers against one team in a single season by a Lightning player is shared between Mikhail Sergachev and Marty St. Louis, current Habs coach Marty St. Louis. Sergachev had 10 against Nashville in 2020-21, and Marty St. Louis had 10 against Atlanta in 2006-07 and Philly in 2010-11. And while the Atlanta Thrashers have come to the tip of my tongue, I guess there's no better way to transition this discussion than what happened in Mullet Arena yesterday. The Coyotes take down the Edmonton Oilers 5-2. Dylan Genther with another two-point performance from him. The rocket of a shot. I mean, that was excellent. The feelings in the building were very high, very raw. The broadcast team did an incredible, incredible job. You could tell it was very hard for those guys that have spent their entire careers in the Valley, really trying to make hockey accessible to others, guys who have spent years explaining the game to people, connecting with fans. Hockey is so much more than the scores on the ice, the play on the ice, the nice passes and all that stuff. It is about the people. It is about the community. And the play-by-play voice of the Arizona Coyotes did a very nice job of putting it when he said that it takes a village to create an NHL player, to make an NHL player, you know, not just with the financial sacrifices, but the ability of travel hockey and moving around and doing all these different things, moving away at a young age to pursue hockey at a higher level. And just the power in those words of how the Arizona community is really like that, and how these people care about one another, both inside the building and outside the building. You know, youth hockey is really thriving down there. We've mentioned plenty the amount of high-end players that have come from Arizona, but that doesn't even really begin to tell the tale once you dive into, you know, other high levels of hockey, other pro hockey, Division One, Division Three hockey. There's countless players that have come from Arizona and the desert. And you could tell there by both the reaction inside the arena and outside the arena that this is a fan base that is very sad about losing their team. And there's no other way around it other than you feel most for the people that are losing their jobs. Tyson Nash had a very, very funny snippet where he was like, I don't know what to do tomorrow morning. I wake up unemployed. And that is a very hard feeling for a lot of people that have given their blood, sweat, and tears to this organization. And one thing I will say is the people who have probably been considered the least in all of this is Arizona Coyotes fans. And you know, it's kind of hard to talk about, right? I grew up in a place where the local team was the Florida Panthers, and there was always chatter. There was always the discussion of the possibility. It never really, really got that far. Vinny Viola did a great job to stabilize the ownership down in Florida, and now I would argue they're one of the premier organizations in the league. But having that hang over your head is very, very difficult for the players, for the fans, for everybody involved. But I don't know how it would have impacted my hockey journey, my fandom, my love for the sport, if the Panthers had up and moved when I was a young kid. And keep in mind that not every Arizona Coyotes fan is 25 or 35 or 45 or 55. There are some that are 5 and 10 and 15. And to lose your hockey team at that age is very, very difficult, to lose any sports team. We see it right now with what's going on with the Athletics and baseball. And that is a pretty disgusting situation, if you ask me. I just hope that a lot of these kids are able to continue to play hockey. Seems like the Junior Coyotes and the Kachinas are going to keep going. Lindsay Fry, who runs the Kachinas program, talking on the post game, saying that it would be over her dead body that anything happened to the Kachinas program. And I believe her when she says that. You know, that is also a family, keep in mind, that is hockey royalty in Arizona. But they've done a lot, her and her brother. And look, like I said, I think the people here that are being considered the least are the fans. They are being on the butt end of a lot of jokes, a lot of, oh, finally, this team is moving. But this is hard for those people, you could tell. There were a lot of teary eyes, both in the stands and on the ice, and, you know, amongst the workers and everything. I mean, this was just very hard for people that have dedicated a majority of their lives to this. So like I said, I feel for the fans. I hope that they continue to be hockey fans. We will wait to see what happens with the future of hockey in Arizona. I don't know that today is the day to speculate on that. But we will see if the NHL does decide to return there. Obviously, we've seen return to markets like Winnipeg before. But we'll just, this is kind of a wait and see thing. And like I said, today is not the day. Today is the day for sending out good messages to any Coyotes fans, you know, and putting out into the universe that kids are going to still be playing hockey there, and that hockey will continue to thrive in the Valley because of all the work that these people have done for a very long time. So the game itself was pretty inconsequential. No use in really talking about it. But I think it it mattered to a lot of people, too, that the Coyotes walked away with a win. And hearing Andre Turgeny after the game, I mean, probably one of the more underrated coaches in the National Hockey League right now. He gets his team to fight, and he gets his team to feel pride and to make sure you are always playing for the respect of yourself and your fan base. And yeah, I don't know. Some really good words from him before and after the game. He is very open about the fact that this was a very hard situation the first time it leaked into the locker room. That sort of coinciding with the Coyotes' 14-game losing streak happening in January. And, you know, the second time around last week when everything sort of became real, they were able to sort of handle it in a more mature way. He said in his post-game that the Coyotes had aged 3 years in that losing streak and the subsequent handling of all of this movement talk. So, you know, they rattle off two very impressive wins, Vancouver and Edmonton. Pretty inspired effort against Calgary, even though I know that it didn't go the way they wanted it to in the end. But last night was a fight for them. That is a very good Edmonton Oilers team that I understand probably didn't have its full foot on the gas pedal with the playoffs looming and a matchup against Colorado still to be had tonight. But nonetheless, it was still a very, very awesome performance by the Coyotes. You know, and I just think of some of the players too. I know that there are some players that are probably not too upset about moving to Salt Lake City, but I do hear that there are some players that are upset, and I don't know who those players are exactly. I know one or two. But the guys like Lawson Crouse, who have really given everything that they have and years of service to this, you know, like you just got to feel for them, and also got to feel, it's got to feel pretty good getting a goal in a game like that. Sean Durzi, if that is indeed it, which it looks like it is, Sean Durzi will be your bar trivia answer for future years as to who got the final goal in Arizona Coyotes history. That belongs to Sean Durzi via an empty netter about 200 feet the length of the ice. So that is the bookend on the Coyotes, although I'm sure we will talk about this both in the immediate future and into the summer as well, as this is still a developing story. There's still a lot to unpack here. Also, Shane Doan getting his number retirement banner from the old Gila River Arena. That was pretty cool. But yeah, this is still a story that is going to keep growing and will probably grow in legend too. I can anticipate that a night like last night, the tales of last night will continue to unfold and probably exaggerate themselves a little bit. And, you know, there's some other stuff about, like, the social media personnel. Apparently the Coyotes fired all their social media personnel, and Alex Morello Jr. has had control of the accounts for quite some time now. That coming from Michaela Perkins of PHNX Sports. You know, like, this isn't really the time to criticize anything like that or to really talk about it. I think this was even hard for the Morellos. I know that may sound kind of absurd, but this is sort of the fallout of your work and your ambition and your dream not really getting done. And some people might look at that as the owner's undoing, the Morellos' undoing, but it's not really that. You know, sometimes things just don't happen. And, you know, I'm sure they feel a little bit too, him and his family and his kid. You know, I'm sure that is very hard for everybody involved. So I'm sure this is a topic of conversation we will dive into more as the days and the weeks go on. But for now, that is it as far as the on-ice aspect of the Arizona Coyotes, the on-ice portion of the Arizona Coyotes. We will wait to see. You know, and just one last point, actually. Just Josh Doan. I know I've talked about him a lot on this program quite a bit over the last little bit. One really good article by Remy Masti on the Hockey News, just talking about that. You know, like, they 10 games into the league, and this kid is really carrying himself like a veteran. And, you know, he spoke before the game about how difficult it was for him and how much he had grown up with this organization. And, you know, just the epitome of class, the last practice they had. He was the last one on the ice, and he was seen picking up pucks. So just a really good kid, going to be a very, very good National Hockey Leaguer too. The guy's speed is very underrated. The shot, the hockey IQ is probably what stands out the most with Josh Doan. So, if they are indeed going to Salt Lake City, which it looks like they are, you are getting a good one in Josh Doan. So, that is our Coyotes discussion. And like I said, I'm sure we will be doing more of that as we get into it some more, as more information unfolds and we get some more people on the show as well. Marc-Andre Fleury signs a 1-year extension. 2024-25 will be his final season, according to the 39-year-old netminder. Could have been a UFA on July 1st, said he did seriously contemplate retiring after this season. I always thought that Marc-Andre Fleury would be some sort of reunion with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, he played his 1,000th game this year. He's bounced around a little bit. You know, the Vegas and the Chicago stops and the Minnesota really leading to that bouncing around. But look, I mean, the Wild have two goalies already in Filip Gustavsson and Jesper Wallstad on the roster. Each are signed through at least next season. And Wallstad looked really good. I know it was a tough season for Filip Gustavsson. But, you know, I did always think in the back of my mind that there would be a little bit of a chance of a reunion between Marc-Andre Fleury and Pittsburgh. Alas, that is not to be the case. He will return to the Minnesota Wild. Played in the NHL All-Star Game 4 times, leads active goalies and wins with 561, and games played with 1,024, 994 starts, and 75 shutouts. He has a win, too, against all 32 NHL teams, and was voted the winner of the Vezina Trophy in 2021 as the league's best goalie. So, you know, he's just a fun guy. He's a fun guy to watch, fun guy to cover, and you know, I am impressed by the guys that still find the itch to do this. I mean, this is a guy who's won 3 Stanley Cups. He has accomplished pretty much everything in the game that he needs to. And, you know, for him to keep doing what he's doing is very, very impressive. And, I tip my hat to Marc-Andre Fleury, one of the best guys in the game. And it'll be interesting to see what the Minnesota Wild do. I peg them right now, the more in the early stages of the offseason. We haven't even gotten there yet. Still one more round of games tonight to be had. But I am wondering what teams are going to be able to bounce back. And the Minnesota Wild probably top my list right now as far as teams poised to make a playoff charge come 24-25. So I hope Marc-Andre Fleury can be a part of those. And yeah, we will see how they go. Minnesota Wild will take on the Seattle Kraken tonight at the Xcel Energy Center in their season finale. So let's get to Jeff Carter. So I know it was a disappointing season in Pittsburgh. You know, they lose yesterday to the New York Islanders. Kind of a microcosm of the entire season for them. Second straight season, they've missed the playoffs after they were eliminated by watching the Washington Capitals beat the Flyers on the empty netter. But, you know, Jeff Carter scores in the game yesterday, what turned out to be his final NHL game. And the emotion from Sidney Crosby in a game that didn't really mean anything, you know, I saw it on the first goal over to Evgeny, or one of the first goals over to Evgeny Malkin. Not a crazy amount of emotion, obviously, in a game that doesn't mean anything to one of the greatest winners of all time. But when he set up Jeff Carter for his what will turn out to be his final NHL goal, the emotion on Sidney Crosby's face and in the scrum, it was just, it was awesome. You know, like Jeff Carter, I know this ending in Pittsburgh might paint a different picture of who Jeff Carter was to a lot of hockey fans, but this guy was elite, man. I mean, just one of the best of, you know, the Los Angeles Kings two Stanley Cups era. You know, it was a very, very good Philadelphia Flyer. We all remember that awkward in the middle portion with the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, it just looked like a great moment. Obviously, I mentioned he's a two-time Stanley Cup champ, 2012 and 2014. Won a gold medal with Canada, too, at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Two-time NHL All-Star as well. Or I should say All-Star Game participant. You know, really, really good stuff. Played 133 NHL playoff games, too. Had 84 points. You know, really good stuff. And do we have the clip about what he said of... what he's going to do with his time now that he is retired.
Yep, right here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm not sure. I'm going to be a dad. You missed a lot, you know, being a hockey player. You're in and out and away, and even when you're home, you're not really there, you know. So my family, all hockey families, but they sacrifice a lot for us to live out our dreams. So. I'm gonna be home and be a dad for a while, and then I'll figure it out from there.
Will you stay in your kids?
Yeah, just great stuff, man. Being a dad, nothing wrong with that. You know, it's good. I mean, you understand that a lot of these guys, you know, they miss a lot of things. I was listening to an interview of Blake Griffin, who just announced his retirement from the NBA. And just saying that there's a lot of, like, weddings and birthdays and family gatherings you miss, and... you know, Blake Griffin was saying that he is just very thankful that now he doesn't really have to miss those things. And it's like he can be a full participant in all other aspects of his life besides basketball. And I think Jeff Carter is going to embrace being a full participant in the other aspects of his life outside of hockey, just like he embraced his fourth line role this season. You know, great career. Like I said, amazing career, really. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up sticking around the game, maybe in management, maybe not. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, I just wanted to shout out a congratulations to Jeff Carter on a great career. Few other things. There was some chatter about, you know, the Washington Capitals qualifying with the last spot in the Eastern Conference. And there was a little chatter about Ryan Leonard, who was... third most goals in the NCAA this season, first round pick by the Washington Capitals at last year's draft. There was a little chatter about him leaving the Boston College Eagles to join another team with an eagle on their jersey, the Washington Capitals. And he has decided to return. This is the quote from Brian McClellan, GM of the Washington Capitals. Ryan Leonard indicated his desire to return for a sophomore season at Boston College. We support Ryan's decision to return to one of the best programs in the nation to continue his development. Ryan showed great leadership and made tremendous progress during his first year, which saw him score the most goals by a freshman in Boston College program history and the third most goals in the NCAA. We will continue to monitor his development and progress next year and look forward to watching Ryan build upon his successful freshman season. That is Brian McClellan on Ryan Leonard returning to Boston College for his sophomore season. Look, out of all of those guys outside of Cutter Gauthier, who we will see make his NHL debut tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights for the Anaheim Ducks, he was probably the most NHL ready. I know Will Smith put up the gaudy point totals. And look, that's not me saying that I don't think Will Smith is NHL ready. I think he is. But Ryan Leonard, I think, could play in the playoffs on Saturday. And, you know, I can't fault the guy for wanting to return to return to BC. It looks like it's going to be a fun team next year. You're going to get James Hagans. You are going to get you're going to get some good freshmen coming in. So good for Ryan Leonard to make the decision like that. And probably not so great for the Washington Capitals fans that were itching to see him in the postseason lineup. Probably should announce this. So we have our Eastern Conference Game 1 schedule. Saturday, these are all in Eastern time, by the way, everybody. So Saturday, April 20th, the playoffs begin. At 5 p.m., we have the New York Islanders at the Carolina Hurricanes, and then the nightcap, 8 p.m., Toronto at Boston, Game 1. And then Sunday, we have a 12:30 p.m. Eastern start for Florida and Tampa Bay, that going underway at Amerant Bank Arena in South Florida. And Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, we'll have the Washington Capitals at the New York Rangers. Those are all going to be great matchups. We are going to do a little playoff preview tomorrow with Lee Grossman. So we look forward to that. We'll dig more into the matchups there, who we like, who we don't like. Give you guys a little predictions too, because everybody loves those. And, you know, we'll do some things. Maybe we'll talk a little Conn Smythe Trophy candidates. We'll, you know, we'll put a bow on the Blackhawks season as well, because he is one of my resident Blackhawks knowers. And, yeah, so we look forward to that tomorrow. We are going to keep things kind of short here today. Did want to mention a few other things. So, a lot of locker cleanout days for a lot of the teams that have finished their seasons already. Dougie Hamilton missed the last 62 games of the season. Torn left pectoral muscle December 1st. Said he may have been able to return for the Devils if they had qualified for the playoffs. You know, that would have been a big boon for the Devils. And I think, you know, the Washington Capitals making their return to the playoffs this season after missing last season. A lot of people will point to the impact of John Carlson on defense. John Carlson missed a majority of last year, and you could tell that was an enormous hole on the Washington Capitals blue line, and they looked a little lost out there sometimes. That is kind of what I see with the Dougie Hamilton situation in Jersey. You know, I've heard a lot of there's a lot of like clickbaity stuff, obviously. Who is the most disappointing team in the National Hockey League this year? For me, it's the New Jersey Devils. You know, this is a team that made the second round of the playoffs last year and really could have kept going and growing and should have kept going and growing. I understand that development is not an uphill curve. It is many bunny hops up and down. And this was certainly a down for the New Jersey Devils. And, you know, missing Jack Hughes for extended bit periods of time here and there played a fixture in that as well. But the absence of Dougie Hamilton versus the presence of Dougie Hamilton is substantial in New Jersey, especially when you have the young defense that you have, when you have the players that you lost as well, the Ryan Graves and Damon Severson pair that you lost. Yeah, Dougie Hamilton was a massive blow. That was a massive, massive blow for them. And, you know, I would not be surprised if next season the Devils not only return to the playoffs, but return in a big way, whether that's winning the Metro Division, finishing at the very least top three. I can see us all pointing to the return of Dougie Hamilton as being a very large boon for the Devils going into next season. So, you know, I mentioned Minnesota being a team that I can envision bouncing back. Give me the Devils as well for that. I think this is going to be a great playoffs, and I think the offseason is going to be really great. We're going to have a lot of teams that are up against it, pressure-wise, time-wise, if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know. But there are some teams that are a hot seat to make some moves, make their team better, change the mix a little bit, and really make a push for the playoffs. You know, Detroit just missing it. Buffalo, I think the pressure is on high. Same goes for Ottawa, and same goes for some of the other teams out in the West. So that is it for us today. Enjoy the six games tonight. If any of them are of your ilk, I will probably honestly be watching the two latest games myself, the debut of Cutter Gauthier and against the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Kings taking on the Blackhawks in what will wrap up Connor Bedard's season. And that really being the only matchup that plays any sort of consequential role in what sort of playoff matchups we had. Oh, I probably should mention, we did get the one playoff matchup that we did have decided yesterday was Vancouver will take on Nashville in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we know that, and we will find out the last two after tonight. So enjoy the hockey if you enjoy it. There are still two PWHL games on tap tonight. So enjoy those and don't listen to me because all the mistakes here are mine. I will be catching those earlier on in the evening, Toronto at Boston and Minnesota at Montreal. So enjoy the hockey, whatever kind of hockey it is. Like I said, junior leagues are deep into the playoffs. Overseas hockey were in the finals for a lot of good leagues. The DEL is in their finals and such. KHL is going to start their finals soon. So enjoy the hockey tonight, which whatever kind of hockey it is. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to say all the boring stuff now. Like, subscribe, leave 5 stars, leave a review. Go watch On the Gravel. I cannot understate this enough. I have actually gotten messages from people saying, you guys do an F1 show? I talk about it every day, everybody. So yes, we do an F1 show. It is called On the Gravel F1, it will be the first thing that pops up. I promise you, they made the titles that way. So, enjoy all the hockey tonight. Enjoy all the content we give you. We will be back tomorrow with Lee Grossman, and, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Well, I have turned the song of this beautiful land, but the beauty of a rich man's world.